I have some questions I want to start off with. And I think most of them I know the answers. And that's, do you feel loved and accepted at our church? Does David and I help that happen? And you don't have to answer. You can say yes, no. If you have a problem, you can talk to us after church. But anyway, I want you to think about that. Do you feel that here? And do you know that Pastor David and I love you so much that you're like our family? And that we want to help lead and guide you in the right direction. And this means sometimes we need to be the parent. We need to bring things to your attention to help get you back on track. Kind of like parents do, isn't it? We love them. We want you to trust us. We don't want to judge you. That's the last thing. We want to love you with all of our hearts. Because that's what Jesus tells us we need to do. But sometimes our job is to bring you back to where you need to be. And we're not here to judge, but to help correct the direction you may be going to get you on the right path. I told the ladies at LMNOP Tuesday, I don't even know how to describe Tuesday. Amazing. Cheryl, I don't know if Debbie told you anything about Tuesday. Bridget was there. Words to describe Tuesday: amazing, awesome, unbelievable, crying, tissues, tears. It was amazing. What? Oh, Thursday. I don't know where I was Tuesday, but Thursday. LMNOP on Thursday. I'm sorry. I get my days mixed up. It starts with a T. I was halfway there, right? Anyway, it was just so amazing. The conversations we started having and stuff. And I told them, because I was concerned with one of the women and some of the decisions, and I was worried about her because she was going away. And sometimes things come out of my mouth, and it's like, oh my gosh, what'd you say? You should have shut up. You're going to be in trouble. But it wasn't me. It was God, and I couldn't even believe some of the stuff I had said because I felt like I was jumping on her, but I wasn't. And I told this girl, I said, I'm really concerned. And, you know, I sounded like her mother is what I sounded like. And so before she left, I said, I just want you to know I absolutely love you, and I'm like the mother hen. God has brought David and I here to be like your parents. I'm the mother hen. I'm the mama. You're my babies, and I need to know you're okay. And I thought, this might not go very well. Well, that next day, I got a quite long message from her, and I thought, oh boy, I'm really in trouble now. But that's not how it went. Because I obeyed God, and I had said what he out of my mouth, she said, thank you. My mom can't do that for me anymore, and I don't have anybody to care for me like a mom does. So see, when we listen and we obey God, amazing things happen. And that's where it comes in with David and I being able to love you guys and to make you understand how important you are to us. And that also means we have to tell you things you may not want to hear, just like a parent. That was not my favorite thing, is disciplining my children, because I didn't want to be the bad guy. Never wanted to be the bad guy. But let me, another question. What do you think Pastor David and my jobs are? Do you think we're supposed to be here to vacuum, cook dinner, clean up after dinners, mow the lawn, fix all the building problems, witness, teach, work with the kids, the teens, the adults, preach, run sound, do the music, do the bulletins? Or do you think all of that is ours? Let me tell you what our jobs are. We're called to be disciples. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't help with the things around the church and helping with the building. I'm not bragging on my husband, but my husband has spent many hours on his day off and after in that stinky, nasty basement. Thank God the guy came and it's now fixed. He barely had help every now and then. Brian would come and help. Damien helped. And I think about these. I know they're part of our responsibilities. But how much time could we have been out with our people discipling and loving? So my question is to you guys, would you rather us spend many hours here at the church, attending to the building, to the yard, or would you rather us be spending time with you? Fellowshipping, worshiping, teaching, learning, discipling, and loving each other. I'll answer for Pastor Dave because I know his answer and I know mine. We want to spend more one-on-one time with you. We want to be able to outreach to you. We want to go to Cheryl and Hiram's house. We want to spend more time with Damien, and we want to spend time with Sonia. But when we're here for hours, we're not able to do that. So that brings me to my question, why are you really here? Are you here to socialize? Are you here to become one with the Lord? Are you here to grow? Are you here because the Holy Spirit brought you here? Are you here just because you think we're going to have a party and we're going to have a good time? I'm glad you're here for whatever decision you're here, because we love you and we want you to grow in Christ. But I want you to understand the importance of being here. But the more important thing is having that relationship with Jesus Christ. And whether you came in to have a good time and party or to socialize, we want that to turn into having a relationship with Christ. And we feel that we can do that more when we're spending time with you. And I'm not complaining, because I enjoy, Gene and I and Bridget, we've worked hard the last week, haven't we, Damien? We've worked poor little Damien half to death. He's got all the muscles, us older women. I can't lift like I could. And poor Damien, even little Maya's been up here helping us. But Damien, he's had to use his muscles because David's been at work and stuff. I appreciate that. And I enjoy being here. I really do. And I started thinking, sometimes I go home and I'm a little upset because I had to spend so much time, because I haven't got to go see this person, and this person. But when I was reading, it says, helping around the church is not a job, but an opportunity to give back to God for what He's done for you. Because He's given you gifts, He's given you talents, and He's given you the physical ability to be able to do stuff. We all come up with excuses why we can't come up and help, or why this, we're too busy, or this or that. But I'm just asking for you to think more of that, to help us be able to spend more time with you. And I'm glad Jesus didn't get up on the cross and give any excuses. Hey, I ain't strong enough to do that. Hey, I'm too tired. I don't want to do that. What do you think I'm for? Why should I die for all their sins? I know it's a totally different thing, but you never hear God giving any excuses, or Jesus giving any excuses. It says in Luke 22:39-42, Jesus went out as usual to Mount Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. That's pretty easy to do. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. How many times do we do that? Sometimes I even have to do it, whether it's coming to the church or it's going to do this or that. If it's your will, Lord, we'll go and we'll do. I know, Gene, we all get tired of being here. When we're not having fun, when we're having fun, we all want to be here, right? We're having dinners, woohoo! We got food, we got good cooks. But who wants to help set up? Who wants to help take down? Who wants to wash the dishes? Not very many. And that's why I'm getting lazy and I say, bring soup, salads, and that, because nobody wants to help. David and I have been here to be your pastors. We want you to allow us to be this and help us do our jobs that we need to do with the visitation, spending quality time with you. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So if we're not out doing our job and we're not spending the time we need to help and share the holiness, we're not helping you. Our goal is for everybody to go to heaven, for everybody to see the Lord. We don't want you to wait till a week before you're ready to croak, decide to accept the Lord. We want you to have that relationship that you can enjoy and get the blessings from. Holiness. What is holiness? Some of you might be saying. It's a total devotion to be God, to be Christ-like. It's a devotion to God to be Christ-like. That's a big job. It doesn't happen overnight. We still mess up. We have to say, oh boy, that wasn't very Christ-like of me. I shouldn't have said that. And I have to go back. Sometimes David has said, you probably shouldn't have said that. Like I said, sometimes I speak before I think. But that's where we got to come in with the practice of being Christ-like. another part of being that holiness and us helping, we want to be able to spend time with prayer with you guys. Sometimes we use the prayer as a last resort. Oh my gosh, someone, this is happening, what are we going to do? We need to be on our knees praying together before things happen. Oswald Chambers says, we tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first defense. So part of this holiness, and for us to help you with this holiness, we need to be using prayer as our defense, not a last resort. Now this is where I'm probably going to get pretty emotional. Thursday, I told you it was awesome, amazing, tearful, I don't even know. And Debbie and I'm still getting messages from people. I can't even remember. We had 14, 15 maybe requests. And we're all sitting there. It was a very good conversation. We did our devotionals. We're praying. And we always have a prayer list and we have a praise of what's been answered. And we put some things down. We prayed for a couple people that we knew should be there, that they're struggling. No sooner that one name went on that paper, that person walked in the door that we had no idea was coming. We're all looking at each other. It's kind of weird, but awesome. Nobody said anything. Okay. Went on, wrote a couple more down. Another girl, really, really struggling, having some issues. We said we need to pray for her family. She needs to be back in this church. Another car pulls in the driveway. It's her. What are the chances of that? Two on our prayer list, and we haven't even got it done, has been answered. Okay? Stephanie there, who never gets to come. And she wants to, but she works. And she said, we need to pray for a car. She will have a car by tomorrow night. And we knew this by Tuesday, or by Thursday afternoon. Now you tell me that's not an answer to prayer. If that's not something to get excited about. Okay, so three of our prayers have already been answered on Thursday. This is just the beginning. I probably won't even get them all. I had a friend that thought I had breast cancer. Very, very, very good friend of mine. She was scared. And she's like, I could use some jokes right now. I said, I don't know any jokes. So I'm sending silly pictures. And I'm asking the group, I said, I need you to pray for my friend. She's scared. They found three masses. They've done this test. And they want her to see a surgeon. That don't usually seem pretty good. And we prayed, Lord, we need you to touch this woman. The text I got from her, I'm good to go. They're only cysts. I'm good to go. I said, I knew my God would take care of you. Okay, what's that? What are we up to now? Four or five? I don't even know how many we're up to. This is just, and we don't even have our list completed. Brittany, my other niece is pregnant. We prayed for her OB appointment. It went good. She had felt fallen twice. Things are going good. There's another one answered. I was talking to Bridget this morning and I said, I don't even know if I got them all down. There's a girl on Facebook that is on a garage sale site that's looking for a church. She's not looking for a church. She's looking for a friend. She's in bad shape mentally. I now have a new friend. That was a God thing. God used me to answer her. And I was over my head because I didn't know how to handle this. And I explained to her, I'm not a counselor. I can't do this. But my group prayed for her. And she texts me all the time. If she's okay or I'm feeling a little down, do you think I need to... If you need to call your counselor, you call your counselor. That's nothing I did. That is nothing that I did. Nothing at all. That's another one. We prayed for our sewer guy. Now let me tell you about our sewer guy. This is a miracle in itself. It's the best $165 this church has ever spent. This guy come in. He's a young guy. Nice looking young guy. And Laura and the baby and Bridget was here with me so I wouldn't be alone. Because you never know. People come in and it was late in the evening. And he come in and, you know, he's... Looks like he's feeling pretty confident. He walks downstairs. He comes up and the look on his face scared the daylights out of the three of us. We're like, if he's looking like that, we're in trouble. And all he would say is, yikes. We're like, okay. If he's saying yikes and this is his profession, we're in a lot of trouble here. It's going to cost more than the $150 they told me to come out and check things out, right? $165. He said, ma'am, he said, I got to take your toilet out. I said, you do whatever you got to do. You just keep me up. When the price goes up, you just need to tell me. He comes. You can ask Bridget. Bridget was here. We were sitting on the floor in the foyer going through the car. He walks into the foyer and he puts his arms up. He said, he's real. We said, yeah, we know. He said, the water is all gone. You think he did that? He didn't even know how he was going to fix it. That was a prayer that we prayed Thursday. By Thursday night, that was another one answered. You tell me that prayer doesn't work. That holiness and prayer and this all don't go together. There's more, I'm sure. I can't even think. There was so different many. When we're in prayer, we pray. We had a lady at Christmas time that we've been helping out at Sunday at the backpacks and everything, and God laid her on my mind and my heart, and because I prayed, show us who we need to help. Show us what we need to do. So I sent her a friend request. She's not a lot of stuff I want to read or see, but you know, that same day, this wasn't on Thursday, but it was before Christmas, she got cut down to 15 hours a week. She has two kids. We had a few ladies together. I don't even know how much money we collected that day. We gave them a Christmas. We gave them food. We gave them a Christmas. And I was able to share with the group the picture of these two little kids holding these $5 toys that you think that we gave $1 million toy to. That is prayer. That's obedience. That's holiness. That's being Christ-like. Romans 8:5-8. I'm actually getting to the scripture that I just get excited because God has answered so many prayers just in one day, much less this whole last week or two. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So I ask you, do you read your Bible? Don't have to answer me. Do you have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. Do you do devotions? If you don't have a devotion book, you see me, we'll get you one. Do you pray? Do you just pray when you need something? Do you focus on Him? Are you living by the flesh? Are you allowing your feelings for other people, whether sexual, in love, drama? Are you allowing your phones to pull you away from Him? That's getting to be a pet peeve of mine when I look around in the church and everybody's on their phone and you walk by and it isn't the Bible. That is disrespectful to God. I'm sorry, but it's disrespectful for God, and this is where I'm going to be the mother hen and I'm not going to be so nice. I got to discipline you. When you're here, you need to focus on Him. When you're in here, it's not disrespecting me. It is, but I'm not worried about me. You're disrespecting Him. Are you letting other people's drama control your life? Because you can. It will mess you up. They can drag you down. They can make your life miserable. It will control your life and your attitude. But if you're focused on Him and you're living by Him and not your flesh. I'll tell you what. I'll ask you this. Are your conversations here at the church representing God? Or is it representing the flesh? I've heard a few conversations around here lately. And I've warned a few. You guys probably aren't going to like me much anymore. I've let you know I love you. I won't judge you. And I never will judge you. But I'm going to tell you, you need to get on the right railroad track. Because you're going down the wrong dead end road. And it's only because David and I love you and we want you to have that spiritual relationship and we want you to see God one day. I I found this really funny because the phones really irritate me. Some of you know Andy Pettit. He wrote this because there's the 23rd Psalms. He calls it Phone 23 Psalms. My smartphone is my shepherd. There's no content I can't access. Nothing that I lack. I desire to spend countless hours surfing and viewing social content. It leads me to seek the affirmation and praise of others. Its social mediums keep me informed. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and the internet consume me. Guide me and help me from my worldview of my own namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of others' disagreements, there we come in with other people's drama, and oppositional viewpoints, I will not fear them, for I can unfollow them or block them, or unfriend them altogether. My smartphone's emojis comfort me and give me ways to express my innermost feelings. Its compatibilities help me organize my days and prepare for life's battles with my enemies. Yes, it fills my mind with happy thoughts, the comments in my news feeds and overflowing. Suddenly, its battery will not wear out and its Wi-Fi signal will stay strong and secure all the days of my life. With a strong password, I will dwell in the cyberspace forever because I have no time for Jesus. I'm guilty of being on my phone a lot sometimes, but I'm trying to get out of that habit. There we go. Is the flesh leading you, or is Jesus leading you? This is the verse that really touched my heart. For a couple weeks, and I told David, and I keep, it's John 5:6, and it's where the gentleman had, I believe, 36 years had been waiting by this pool, and he needed someone to help him in, so, because it was like a healing pool, and someone would always beat him because he couldn't walk. It says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Think about that. What do you think he was asking him? Do you want to walk? Do you want me to help you into the pool? What do you mean by get well? Well, it made me start thinking. And so when I read on, if you read 1-14, it talks about sometime later Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now they're in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate pool, is the pool where he was, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used it to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed would all come, and then they would get in the pool and they could be healed. It said one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years he had been an invalid, waiting there. Can you imagine? That's a long time to be waiting there, and you know how frustrating that would be? It's like being in the grocery store to get a parking spot and people cut you off. Can you imagine that happening for 38 years? Here he is, he can't even get in the pool. And you know he's going to get healed if he could get in there. When, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. That wasn't being very Christ-like either, was it? Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which he took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. The more I read that, I took it as well. Not just that he could walk, but he made him well. He made him whole. As we need to be made whole, our hearts need to be made whole, our minds need to be made whole, we need to be made spiritually whole. Yes, we may not need to get in a pool to walk, but we need to get in that pool to live. We need to get in that pool to give Jesus our all. How can we help anybody else for God if we're not well? So you need to ask yourself, do you want to be well so that you can hear the Lord's voice? Do you want to be led by the Spirit so you can please God? Do you know how good it feels when God uses you or uses your circumstances to help anybody? The things I went through, they're nothing now. Especially when God allows me to help somebody else with it. But if I'm not well in my heart with Him, I'm not able to help anybody. Do you want to get well so the Lord can use you to help us? You have to ask yourself these questions. You have to start with you. We've been joking that you can't... The joke is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I say, yes, you can, just hold them down in it. And Dean says, no, they'll get water in their lungs and they'll get pneumonia. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but it's true. I can preach to you all day. I don't like the word preach. I like teach you all day. Pastor David can. But until you decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you decide to be Christ-like, and you decide to live for Him, that's your choice. We need to start with you. You need to start with time in prayer and in His Word. There's no easy button. You know that commercial, you hit the easy button and it's all good? There's no easy button. There's no loopholes. There's one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. When we went to California on the plane, I'm sure if you've been on a plane, you even see it on the movies. They come on there and they show you how to put the vest on, and they're showing you how to put the seatbelt on, like you can really see what they're doing. And they said, same thing, the oxygen mask, and they got it and they're showing you. And they said, and it says the same thing because I looked up. In the event of a loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will automatically be lowered. And I was glad that none of them were lowered. It says, if you are sitting beside a child, first secure your own mask before applying the child's. That's kind of crazy. I mean, we got to help that kid, right? We got to help this elderly person next to us. That would be my first thought. We got to help them. But you have to realize, unless you as the adult are getting the oxygen you need, you are of no help to that child, the elderly person, or anybody sitting next to you. You both are going to die. And that's the same way with Christ. If you are not well, you are not getting enough oxygen, you're not getting enough prayer, you're not getting enough Jesus in your life, you're going to perish, and you're not going to help anybody else. You're going to let them perish too, if God's telling you to help them. You need to ask God to get you well from your habits. They're habits. They're bad choices, there's good choices, and they're your choices. You need to decide, are you going to live by the flesh? Are you going to quit your habits of lying, stealing, cheating, using people, gossiping, swearing, sexual immorality? These things are flesh-led. They are habits and choices that are not holy or of God. Do you know people get in such a habit of lying? Lenore could say, hey, you got a new car? Oh, yeah, I got a new car. You should see it. Oh, I have a new car. They get in such a habit of lying, they don't think they're lying. And this is where Pastor Dave and I are going to be coming in and say, well, you need to back up. You're going to live by the flesh, or you're going to live by God? And it's not because we're judging you. It's because we love you and we don't want you to go to hell. We want you to have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. You have seen the prayers that have been answered just this week. And if you guys don't want that, you guys are crazy. I'm sorry, but you're crazy. How can you not see how these lives have been changed? The ones that have known me, Sharon and Hiram have known me a long time, just longer than Gene, Larry, and David have known me. They have seen what God has done in my life. They have been a part of that. They can see, I'm sure that Gene and Larry, Gene and Larry have seen changes in me since I started coming around them, let me tell you. It wasn't me. It was not one thing that I could have done without Jesus. And if we don't start getting on the ball, getting ourselves together and start witnessing other people, people are going to be lost. They're going to be left here. We love you guys to death. We want to help you on the right path. But you're going to have to deal with this being your parents. He's the Father. He's allowing us to be the adoptive parents while we're here on earth. and as long as the Lord will allow us to be here. So have you created God in your image because it makes you feel more comfortable? Have you created God in your image because you want it your way? If you're doing something and you're not so sure it's right or not, you look in here, you come ask David and I. People have been saying, so-and-so is asking me questions, and you know what I tell them? You tell them, come talk to David and I. I'm not giving you the answer to take back. They want to know, they can come here and ask us. I'm not being a middleman anymore. If you got a question, you want to know if it's a sin, you want to know if it's wrong, you come see us. We're not doing it no more. We mean business because we're in His business. In the end, God isn't going to say, well and done, good and successful servant. But He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we're just about done, so if my praise team will come up. Tell the devil, I love this. I've seen this. I always go through and people put pictures on there, and I save them because I figure I'm going to use them. I love this one. And I want David to make a big poster of it, and I'm going to hang it up, whether I hang it up here at home. It says, tell the devil, today is not his day, and tomorrow isn't looking too good either. Amen? Today is Jesus' day, and tomorrow's looking awful good for him too. And we need to be that. And I have one more question for you. And I can't answer it for you. You have to answer it on your own. Do you want to be well?